Sí, está.
Un comentario. ¿Va? Sí, esto, señor.
¿Sí?
¿Van mis cosas? Hay que ver a alguien.
Que el Señor sea más tres. Dime en Noviha de Hadoka, Roca Pablo Sifim, Sifalo. Sarah Hadia Hadassa, Kodem Noviha. Those of you who took a glance at the Hakdama of the Prima Gadim, Tilchos Noviha, saw that the Prima Gadim brings here six different reasons for the Hadoka Kamaisa. We'll add a seventh, in Beis Merish Plechidush. And you're going to be asked any time you're going to have a Bachin Hilchos Noviha, you should just know that they're going to ask you, what are the reasons for the Hadoka Kamaisa? And they want to see whether you only looked in the Shach and the Taz, or you also looked in the Prima Gadim. So we'll also look in the Prima Gadim. It would be a little easier for us, I think, to divide the reasons, even Meirosh, into two categories. One category of reasons is that the Hadoka is necessary for the Malicha to work. Namely, that the Malicha, without Hadoka, doesn't get off the ground. And there are three or four reasons for that. And the second category is that the Malicha will work, but it'll work in the wrong way, as we discussed a little bit last week. It'll work as Maliach Karoseach as opposed to Maliach Kedera, and would be Mavli Adam instead of being Machbetam. Those are the other reasons. So I'm going to give you the reasons in the order of, in the number numeration of the Prima Gadim, but in the order that I am setting for you. Okay. So reason number three. Okay, it means the third Tom, the Tom Shlishi of the Prima Gadim, is the Mordechai. The Mordechai says that if one doesn't wash off the piece of meat before Malicha, then HaMelach Yitzmalei Dam, and will not have any koach to be Motzi Dam, namely that we're going to waste the Melach on the external Dam, and we're never going to get to the piece of meat. And so you have to get rid of the outer Dam first in order that the Melach be able to work on the inner Dam. That's the third reason mentioned by the Prima Gadim. The second reason mentioned by the Prima Gadim, which happens to be the second reason I'm mentioning as well, okay, is that of the Ran, and that is L'rakech HaBasar. However, the Ran deals with the Rikuch of the Basar externally. You have to be Merakech, the outer surface of the Basar, to allow the Melach to have an effect. The third reason that we're going to give is the fourth Ta'am of the Prima Gadim, okay, Ta'am Revi of the Prima Gadim, which is the Yesh Omrim of the Mordechai. And even though the Shach brings the Ran and the Yesh Omrim of the Mordechai in the same breath, Ha'tam Kadesh Yisrakech HaBasar V'yetzei Domedei Malicha Ran V'yesh Omrim Shabba Mordechai, the Prima Gadim takes the Shach for task for not being a little more meduyak, and points out that the Yesh Omrim of the Mordechai is not a question of being merakech, the outer surface of the meat, but rather being merakech, the meat through and through, in and out. That the whole piece of meat has to be like a piece of rubber, a soft piece of rubber, or like a sponge, as whatever muscle you want to give, in order for the melach to be able to work. So far we saw the third reason of the Prima Gadim, the second reason of the Prima Gadim, and the fourth reason of the Prima Gadim. Then there is a reason the Prima Gadim didn't mention, which fits into this category as well, and that's the Rashba. In the Taras Habayis, in Hilchos Malicha, it also has Hilchos Malicha. So in Bayis Shlishi, Sha'ar Shlishi, the Ra'ah, the Bedek Habayis, comes up with his reason that we haven't yet come to. And the Rashba in the Mishmeres Habayis disagrees with him. And he ends up, the HaPerish HaNachon B'Hadacha Rishona, Kedei She'Yitzlachlech HaBasar V'Yidbak Bo HaMelach. He says that there has to be some glue to allow the melach to stick to the meat. If the melach will stick to the meat, then it will be able to have an effect. If the melach is just going to fall off of the meat, it's not going to have any effect. That glue is moisture. If the meat is moist, then the salt will stick to the piece of meat, as we know from Achush Ya'id. If the piece of meat were to be totally dry, you put the melach on, there's nothing to connect the melach to the meat. So there, that's why you need a doch kamaisa to moisten the meat in order for the salt to stick. So the common denominator between all these four reasons is that nothing is going to happen to help us in terms of this piece of meat if we don't have the doch kamaisa. Either because we're going to use up the melach on the schmutz on the outside, it's never going to get to the piece of meat, or because the piece of meat is hard on the outside and the melach can't deal with hard meat, or because the piece of meat is hard on the inside and the melach won't be able to deal with the inside of the piece of the meat, or because the melach won't stick and therefore nothing is going to happen. So nothing, according to these four, a melicha without hadacha kamaisa is meaningless. Nothing happened. The piece of meat, it's as though it's a fresh piece of meat. It's just waiting to do something, but nothing actually happened. The other three reasons deal with a negative melicha without a hadacha kamaisa. So again, in the second category, tam hachamishi, the fifth reason that the Prima Gadim offers, is the hagos maimini. And that's something that we spoke about last week, to remove the dam be'en. Because if we have dam on the outer surface, that's dam be'en, and dam be'en is going to be nivra into the piece of meat, either because it's according to the shach, because it's dam be'en, or because the melicha process is just now beginning, and it's going to begin by doing a havlah before it gets to the plita, so we're going to be a wrong way Charlie, we're going to be moving blood into the piece of meat, rather than moving blood out of the piece of meat. That's the ta'am chamishi. The ta'am, or rishon of the Prima Gadim, is the bedakabayit, is the ra'ah. The ra'ah says that what's going to happen is that you have blood which is coagulated on the outer surface of the meat. The melicha is going to skip over that blood. It's going to go straight to the blood within the piece of meat. But then afterwards, when the blood is coming out, then at some point it's going to soften the blood which is on the outside. That coagulated blood is going to be softened by the blood which is coming out. And that's going to be nivla back into the piece of meat after the melicha. Namely, if we don't remove that blood from the outer surface, it's not going to be nivla immediately, like the Hagos Maimani said, but it's going to be nivla at some later point. At some later point, it's going to be softened, and then when the melicha process is finished, melicha kedera, then that's going to go, and then you're going to have afterwards a melicha roseach. The sixth ta'am that the Prima Gadim lists is that of the Rush, and that is that melach, when it's on a dry surface, will work, but it'll work like in first gear. And in order for it to work in fourth gear, to pull out all the blood, it has to be, the piece of meat has to be wet. Namely that it's not as though previously we saw, according to the Rashba, if the piece of meat isn't wet, no, it's not going to work at all. That's not what the Rush is saying. It's going to say it's going to work, but it's only going to work partially. And then if it works partially, you're going to have a problem of dam which move from place to place within the piece of meat, and we get involved in the problem. Is that considered to be dam evarim shapiresh or not? And it's only going to get out part of the blood. In order for it to do the job properly, you need dafka that the piece of meat be watered down. So these then are seven reasons. Again, four of which means that nothing will happen without a hadacha. Three of which say that without a hadacha, you're going to have a process, but it's either going to be a wrong-way process, or eventually a wrong-way process, or a partial process, which is going to mess you up somewhere along the line. Yeah? So the big nafkamina then, the basic nafkamina, this is what both the Shach and the Taz point out, the basic nafkamina between the reasons is, what if you made a mistake? You didn't learn the halachas, and you did a melicha without a hadacha. And then you learn the halacha and say, oh no, can I now go ahead and start all over again and do a melicha with a hadacha? So according to reasons that I gave, 1 through 4, yeah, because nothing happened. In other words, what you did the first time was just a waste of salt. It was an exercise in futility. Nothing actually happened. Start all over again. However, according to the 5th, 6th, and 7th reasons that I gave, which are 5, 1, and 6 in the ordering of the Prima Gadim, according to those three reasons, you're achtzaras. You're Apsaris because you already have Dam Be'en that was Nivla, you have it was Nivla at the beginning, Nivla at the end, Or you may have done that move from place to place, and who says that Mlichah can work on that? It's no longer in its natural state. So you're pretty much stuck. That's the basic nafkamina. Then aside from that, the reason we have seven reasons as opposed to two reasons is because there are nafkaminas within the reasons. Namely, we have a question, what does Hadacha Kamaisa mean? If you had read an English translation of Yoredeya, how would you translate the word Hadacha? Washing, rinsing, soaking, scrubbing, what exactly does it mean? So according to different reasons, it means different things. If you have to get rid of coagulated blood, scrub. If you have to just moisten the outer surface, rinse. If you have to soften the piece of meat from within, soak. In other words, these are different, these are nafkaminas as to what exactly is the extent and the quality, the quantity of the Hadacha Kamaisa would depend upon the reason for the Hadacha Kamaisa, and each reason would have within it a different Hagdara of Hadacha. Another nafkamina that I think we already mentioned would be, what if you did Hadacha Kamaisa and then you cut the piece of meat? Do you have to do another Hadacha Kamaisa before the Malicha? If we're concerned about softening, so, in other words, there's everything is already, it depends. But again, which softening? Softening the outer surface, softening the inner surface, etc. If we're concerned about blood on the outside, that's a whole different question. Coagulated blood is one question. Any blood is another question. So again, according to the different reasons, you're going to come up with different shitos. So again, this is what we're moving into in terms of the Siman Samachtes Sif Aleph. So now let's go back to Siman Samachtes Sif Aleph. Sarech lahadia chabasar kodem melicha. Okay. So we saw the reasons, seven reasons, and the nafkaminas between them that are mentioned by the Shach and the Taz, either in Sif Aleph or a bit later on. Al Atar, Rabbi Kiva Eger brings another nafkamina, and that is temperature of water. Temperature of water. That cold water will have an effect on, generally, of hardening. Warm water would have an effect of softening. So if the problem is one of, if we have to soften, then in the winter we would have to heat the water before we did Hadacha Kamaisa. If, on the other hand, what we're dealing is questions of getting off outer blood, might not mean a cold, hot, we don't care at all. That's why he points out, Meruah Beis Yosef, the Bisman HaKor Godol, Yasimu B'mayim Ba'ur, Shetofik Tinosam Kodam HaDocha, the Mayim Karim, Mitarshim, they cause things to, Mitarshim, to, like a goose pimples, I don't know what phrase, to, there must be a better word for that. Ve'inam merakatim. Rather than soften, they cause it to sort of close up. Ayein la'el. And then you get into a question of what's the reason, v'chulei v'chulei. So that's another nafkamina in terms of the temperature of the water. Now, all of this that we're discussing, all these options, and we mentioned that one of the nafkaminas is how, what does hadacha mean? Does hadacha mean rinsing, soaking, what else did I say? Scrubbing, etc. All of this is in a normal hadacha. Namely, a normal hadacha we do on a normal piece of meat. But there are situations where everyone will agree that we require a soaking. And that, if you'll skip with me a minute to Sif Yud Beis, Siman Samachtes Sif Yud Beis, is based on a chumrah of the Gaonim. What do the Gaonim say in Sif Yud Beis? Basar sheshaha gimel yamim me'eis le'eis below melicha. If you have 72 hours that elapse between the shechita and the melicha, then avar zmano batel karbana. Then it's too late to do the melicha. I haven't said it for a while. Then it's too late. I haven't given shir for a while either. It's too late to do the melicha. Then yisyavei shadam betocho below yetsi oray yedei melicha. No matter how long you soak it after 72 hours, it's just too late. And then we have no alternative but tzliya. We have to use our other, the other card we have up our sleeve, the other patent of tzliya. That will work even after 72 hours. But melicha requires dam, giving Rav Shmuel Soloveitchik's definition, dam hanefesh. You have to have dam hanefesh in order to do melicha, to pull the nefesh out of the dam. But if there's no nefesh in the dam, then it's just going to be stuck there and will be problematic according to the Gaonim. But we have over here also an etza. What if the meat is shechted in Denver, and the butcher store is in New York, and you have this slow train from Denver to New York that's going to take 5 days for me to get from Denver to New York. What are you going to do? Does everyone in New York have to eat steak? I mean, you know, silly. There's no way of eating anything babushal in New York because it's going to take 5 days between the shlita and the melicha. So the etza is that if we wash it down, if we do a hadacha within the 3 days, that gets the clock ticking all over again. And the clock will go from shlita until the hadacha, and then you have 72 hours from the hadacha until the melicha. And if it's going to take you 2 weeks, within every 72 hours, keep soaking it, and that will keep the blood melicha bil, right? That will keep it at a point where it can be nimach. That's what we have over here in Sif Yud Gimel. Im sharu oso b'mayim toch gimel yamim, then yochav hashosav od gimel yamim achayim. According to the Chumah of the Gonim, we have this possibility of hadacha between one and the other, and that this hadacha clearly you understand is a shriya. Here the whole reason is to be merakech the blood, to keep the blood in some sort of a natural state for an unnatural period of time, and that's why the Mechaber says im sharu osa b'mayim toch gimel yamim yochal hashosu od gimel yamim acherim pachos chatzisha, namely because it's going to take a half hour to be merakech, so you always have 72 minutes minus a half hour, 71 and a half hours in which to soften it, because it's going to take a half hour to soften it, so you have to begin the shriya. So the Shriya will be completed before the end of the 72 minutes. That's what the Taz over here points out. Pachos Katsusha, hu shir hadacha, shishar b'mayim, the gra. Pachos shir hadacha. Now, even though we're going to have a machlokas in the beginning of the Siman, what's the shir hadacha? That's because we're talking about a normal piece of meat. Or if we're talking about this piece of meat that comes under the Chumar of the Gaonim, here everyone agrees you need a Shriya, and everyone agrees that a Shriya is a half hour. That's everyone except for the Shaf. The Shaf says that Pachos Matisha is Lav Dafka. But let's assume not like the Shaf, that you really require over there a full Shriya, a full-blown Shriya. At this point, I usually mention a story that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik told us, that when he was younger and he was hungry, wanted to make a living, and Canary wasn't making enough of a living doing whatever he was doing, so he decided to become a Mashkiach. And so he was offered to be a mashkiach of a meat factory where the meat was coming to New York. I don't recall whether either from Denver or from Chicago, but it came on these slow trains. And so there was a stop in Pennsylvania where they did the hadacha. And so Rav Aaron went out to see how the hadacha was done. And so he described being on the train station, like in the middle of the night, some crazy hour of the night, and a train pulls in. And there is a non-Jew standing at the station with a hose, and he opens the door of a cattle car and gives a spritz, and closes the door of the cattle car, goes to the next cattle car, gives a spritz, right? And that way he goes down the whole train, and then the train goes flying off. And so at that point, Rav Aaron, you know, so he tried to talk to the non-Jew about what Shriya means, right? It doesn't mean to stand by each piece for a half hour to pour water over it. When he saw that he wasn't getting anywhere, that's when he became Mashgiach of Stripes. Okay, it was easier to deal with apple juice and matzahs. And that way also he had a constant supply of yosha, which was very important for him. So it was to kill two birds with one stone. But he described that this was the mitzvah, namely that to do the proper shehiyah that you require, proper shriya, is something which is time consuming. And so, you know, you have to be careful in terms of the hashgacha as to whether they have really their finger on the pulse of what's going on in terms of their raw materials. Okay, that's where we begin to see Siman Samach. So now let's go back. The Ramah continues, V'im hidicho hatavach ein tzarech lahadicho babayis. What over here is the chiddush of the Ramah, that this hadacha doesn't have to be done retail, it can be done also wholesale. Why would you think otherwise? Here we have a machlokes between the Shach, the Taz, and the Prima Gadim, what the Ramah is coming to teach us. So the Shach felt that the Ramah is coming to teach us a halacha within what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would call the quality of the hadacha. That even though we're going to have a wholesale hadacha, and by its nature that's going to be somewhat less intense than a retail hadacha, that's enough. Anyway, that's what the Shach points out. We can assume that the tabach has a cheskas kashrus, and he's not going to do a derech avara ba'alma just with a spritz, but rather he's going to do hidicha yafa. That's the kamash malan. Kamash malan, that's the over here the Shach siv katan base. You have the right to trust the tabach of the Supreme Jew that he did the minimal hadacha which is necessary. The Taz says that you might have thought that maybe you require two hadachas. A hadacha of the tabach and your own hadacha. Kamash malan, we can do with one hadacha. Why you would have thought that? It's possible you would have misunderstood the sugya. That when the sugya says moleach u'mediach, it doesn't mention the first hadacha, etc., because darkness and hadiah. So you might have thought you need two hadachas, kamash malan, then not. However, I think that the easiest chat to learn is that of the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim points out that you can be samach on hadacha of the tabach even though you're doing the malicha. And we might have thought that there had to be a smichus between the hadacha and the malicha. Kamash malan, no. You can buy meat that the tabach was mediach. As long as he was mediach within the last 3 days, you can buy the meat and you can go ahead and be maleach. And this will fulfill all 6 reasons. Whatever the reasons were, we assume that within the 6 days, within the 3 days, they're going to remain moist from a proper hadacha. And so you can go ahead and be maleach afterwards. Even if the hadacha is not you don't have a toch chatzisha etc. between the hidicha tabach and your malicha. Okay, next v'im achar shehidiach chotach kol nesach l'shnayim over shlosha sarech lachzor ulahadicha. This we gave as one of the nafkaminis between the reasons. As to whether you have now you have a new surface, you have to do hadacha again. If the first hadacha was for purposes of rikuch mineyu bay minaf gemina, whether it's one piece or two pieces, but if we're dealing with outer surface problems, then yitzachen that tzarech lachzor hula hadicha. Over here, the shach is medayek chatach kol netach lishnayim dictate lichtov chatach. Dahainu dafka bisakim, and we as opposed to kriya. Kriya wouldn't create a new problem, but sakin would. And that we're going to have new blood on the outer surface because of chatich sakin. So this is the shach on which the Chavas Das makes his diuk about eating. Right? That kaner'eh, that you know, how are you allowed to eat umtsa? So the moment you begin to bite into it, blood is going to go to the outer surface, and you're going to have dami varm shetiresh. So, no, dafka sakin, as opposed to kriya, as opposed to shinayim, etc. You don't have to be medayik that way, but that's the way the Chavas Das was medayik in the shop. Yes?
If you have
the sakin creates a situation of new dam al pnei hashetach. It appears that simply tearing the piece of meat would not necessarily have that effect. The duch of the sakina is that which pulls the dam out of the piece.
So if you wanted to eat a piece of raw meat, you didn't put your mouth, first
you have to lift it with your hands. Yeah, according to this.
Is the Mechaber here taking a stand on why you need hadaka, or is he saying it's a chumra?
That's the chumra, so we have no idea. Right? We have no idea. In fact, he's going to chumra. We'll see later on that the chumra of the Mechaber is not like all the shitas. Okay, says the Ramah, the imlo asakein, have kolo hudachkal. Imlo asakein, have kolo hudachkal. And we have to take this shita seriously. And then it continues. Hadachas basur chatzila yizar lishroso keneged chatzisha uhadicho heite v'mei shriya. Again, luchatchila he's machmir like all the shitas because he just brought 2 reasons that don't go hand in hand. The Shriya doesn't go hand in hand with the problem of Chaticha. These are 2 different problems. So you see that he, L'chatchila, says you should be Machmir for all 7 Shitos that we mentioned. However, b'di'eved apolosh ra'o have raki bicho hete sagile. So on the b'di'eved, we can do with hidicho hete. And again, the question is, does this take care of all the shitos or some of the shitos? That's a good question. What does hidicho hete mean? We're going to have to see. Then the Rama continues. V'achar kach yamtin ma'at shi'etaftafu ha'mayim kodem shimrachenu shlo yimas ha'melach min ha'mayim v'lo yotzi dam. Too much water is no good. It'll cause the melach to simply dissolve, and then you won't have any process of melicha v'lo yotzi dam. On the other hand, both the Shach and the Taz and the Gra point out, too little water is also no good. In other words, don't let it dry out totally, lo yitnagev, because then we have the problem of the rashva. Right, that the blood, the salt is not going to stick. So you have to have this in-between state where you have enough water to have accomplished the functions of the hadacha, not too much and not too little. Then the Rama continues, the nohagu shelo leishtamesh bedvarim acherim bekli shoshorin bo habasar. This takes us back to Siman Sadi Aleph, namely that we have. Actually, no. This is a simple halacha. That since the shriya is maximum a half hour, that's not kvisha. Nothing actually happens, and therefore this kli after it's washed out is totally kasher. We have a kli which is kasher, but it's a minhag. That in case someone didn't wash out the kli totally, you may have a problem with it. Down the end there, so nagu shalish tamish, but it's on the level of minhag rather than the level of din. The im nishtahe habasar bishriyaso me'es le'es. Now we have a problem of kvisha, then habasar v'gam hakli asurim, because we're going to have a situation of dame varim shapiresh via the process of kvisha, and they're going to go back into the piece of meat into the kli. And everything is going to be one big mess. V'ayin lekamon b'siman zeh. So the Shach sends us to Sif Tesvav. There we have the dinim of Kvisha. The problem is that the Shach makes certain statements over here that we'll see when we get Siman Tesvav are totally b'machlokas. The Shach says, "Dishom nisbayer dahavasar aser afilu letzli." That if we have less than shishim and the basar becomes kavush in its dam, not only can you no longer use melicha, but you can't even use tzli. Even tzli won't get out dam she nichbash betoch habasar. And then it continues to say that if there is shishim in the water against this piece of meat, then it's mutar even l'kedera, then it's mutar now to take this piece and now to be mevashalit. So on both of these statements, we will see that there is a machloket. On both ends, the Gideon Rashi simply says, Ayin Taz, Ayin Shach, later on, that this may be the Shach's conclusions later on, however, it's certainly not l'kulei alma. Okay, then, V'af ha'makom sh'ne'esar ha'kli. Now we have this kli that became aser via kvisha. Mutar lachzor v'lishrot. You can use this kli again for the shriya. Here we have, this brings us really to Siman Sadi Aleph. This is what the Gra points out. You have a kli which is aser, and you want to use it temporarily for a situation which the Korah will not bring about a transference of the Yisr from the kli to the meat. So this is the Howard Johnson's case, right? So we have over here the kalim that are aser, and you want to do something which is mutar. And so Meikar Hadin, you could do it, it's on a temporary basis, there was no chum over here, so even according to the Taz, it's not a problem of reusing the kli. Din, bus, and even if you were to leave it for 24 hours, then we pointed out, takes the Siman Kufay, that the kli will already be in Nosein Tam Lufgam before you have the second Kedisha. That's what the Shach points out. So, with your great knowledge of Hilchos Basav HaKalav and Hilchos Taroves, the Hilchos Melicha becomes all that much easier. I think if you would learn this without having learned, put it in the way, where to begin. Din basar shemalei kerach. Din basar shemalei kerach. No, case anoyim shriyasu ayin la'el b'siman samachet. Since siman samachet is not in our material, so we look in the Shach. The Shach summarizes for us siman samachet. And he points out that if you have basar that you began a process of malicha, and then it froze in the middle before you had the 18 minutes, so you can begin the clock before the freezing and continue the clock after the thawing. And these two time periods can be combined, one with the other. That's on a b'dieved plane. U'lechatchila, you should be maleach a second time and have a full 18 minutes without anything in between. Over here, there's a long dogma merivava on the side, basically over here, what he points out is as follows. That sometimes we tend to think that that chumras are always wonderful things, because how can you go wrong with the chumrah? Sometimes the chumrah can bring about a kilkul as well. And here Dagon Merivava introduces us to something we're going to see later on in Sif Tet, and that is that Malicha has three stages. We've mentioned up to now two stages, Hadacha, Kamaisa, and Malicha. But there are really three stages to the assembly line of Malicha. First, there's the Hadacha Kamaisa, with the seven reasons that we gave. Then there's the process of Malicha per se, that accomplishes whatever it accomplishes, the Re'ah, the Rashba. And then there's what's called Hadacha Basraisa. And then the meat is rinsed off, and only afterwards, after stage one, two, and three, can you then go ahead and cook it. What is the purpose of the Hadacha Basraisa? So the obvious purpose of the Hadacha Basraisa is to clear off all the schmutz from the outside of the meat. Here you have meat which is for 18 minutes you have blood flowing out of it. Pashtus, the outer surface is full of this bloody salt, or salty blood, and bloody salt and salty blood. And so you want to now cook it. So you're not going to throw it into a pot because you're going to have all this salty blood. And then you have to worry about shishim. So first you rinse it off, and then what's left is meat. And that's what you want to cook. That's the obvious reason for Hadacha Basraisa. However, Hadacha Basraisa has another function as well. And that's Stimas Mikveh Haplita. That it ends the process. That it closes up all of the openings. Namely, that you're not going to have any continuity. He pointed out that after the 18 minutes, for another hour, still you're going to have sear coming out. You don't want that coming out. You don't want that red color in your pot, even if it's mutter, even if it's just sear and not melach, but you want to stop the process. It's already mutter. The piece of meat is mutter. You want to stop the process. So Dafa Kamais also serves to stop the process. It does two things. It's a cleanser and it's a break. It's a stop. It's the end. Gemara, Malicha is now over. You already had your 18 minutes and you don't need anything more than that. And so we do the Hadacha Basraisa to end things up. So therefore, we're going to have a question. If we have a question exactly as to whether you did a good malicha or not, and now you're going to do it, we'll say, I'll do a second malicha. If you're doing it after the Dacha Basraisa, or let's put it a little differently, if you did, let's say for example, you did a not too good Sharia, let's say that you began to do Shorah, and then in the middle of the Sharia, something happened, or you did a Sharia and a malicha. And then in the middle of the malicha, everything got frozen and then continued. And now you're not that happy about it. You want to start all over again. So it could be that your new Hadacha Kamaisa is going to serve as Hadacha Basraisa. Namely that you want to start all over again. However, if already something began, then yitachain that now you're messing things up by stopping it where things are and sort of suspending the situation in its current state. So I'll just read it inside. It says, "V'li nira shim himlach basar be'odo karush im hudach kvar achar hamalicha shu achar yudbeis shos shuv en lo takona b'malicha rak yitzlena." Why does he want to say that? So then he points out, "Ani mistapit l'fitam haran shadacha rishana hu shi yisrakech." Sorry, continues. Then he gets involved in this reasoning over here, whether Hadacha is so saying Nikvei Haplita is really a machlokas between the Shach and the Taz, and so you get involved in a machlokas that we're going to see later on. And so he says you have to be very, very careful, in other words, not to just assume you can always start all over again, that sometimes you can be messing things up by starting all over again. So again, with the details we'll see as we move over, we're just raising an issue at this point that we're going to see has all the Meisner ramifications later on. Yeah. The Rambam's chalitza was pre-malicha. Rambam did the chalitza pre-malicha. This is post-malicha. And with the Rambam, assume you're going to have problems of that which is within the piece of meat. The salt isn't going to work on it all, and so it keeps it inside. It's not going to come out via bishul. Here we're dealing with post-malicha. We want not to be mevashal it, so we're not interested simply in the continuity of a process, even though that which would come out would be mutter. The Rambam tried to prevent that which would come out from being aser, but here we're dealing with preventing that which would come out, which would be mutar. Okay, in any case, a regular achas, that's what the Dogam Ravava, that's the issue that he's raising. In terms of the halacha ma'aseh nafkamina, we'll see later on. But we do have a question over here which is not dealt with black and white by the Shach, but is dealt with in the Piskei Tshuva, and this is a very halacha ma'aseh issue, and that is, what if you freeze meat before the malicha for 3 days? What if you freeze it for 72 hours before the malicha? Let's say, again, you have a shlachtos in Denver, and they decide, instead of sending it on a slow train to New York, just put it in the freezer until they're going to have a plane that will take it to New York. And they put it in the freezer for a week. And then it gets to New York, and now we want to thaw it out, and we want to do the Hadassah, and we want to do the Malicha, etc. Do we still have that option? What's the question? So the Der Heitev over here quotes a Minchas Yaakov. Der Heitev in the middle of Sifkat Hanches. Kosav a Minchas Yaakov b'tshuva b'simon yud dalad. And Minchas Yaakov is the perush on the Torah Chatos. And the back of the Sefer, he has tshuvah. Basar shishora osa b'mayim. The nikrash habosar tekef im hamayim, the naasa kerach, the shoha im hakerach kama yomim b'lom alicha, that you have this piece of meat which is in a block of ice. Heela diim shoha shoshem b'toch hakerach yesh leser habosar lebishul the manavshach. That we have over here manavshach. How do we view ice? If we're going to view ice as being solid liquid, then we're going to view ice as water. So we have over here a problem of kavush. This meat is now kavush in the ice, and it's kavush for more than 24 hours. Everything is aser. It's as though the blood goes out into the ice and it goes back into the piece of meat. And you're going to say, no, this is not water. There's no liquid over here. Well, if it's not water, we have the chumra of the gaonim. The gaonim say that if you have a piece of meat which stands without water for 72 hours, then we're going to have a problem over here of a dehydration within the piece of the meat, and the malicha isn't going to work. So manavshach, if we view the ice as water, we have kavush. If we view the ice as non-water, then we have the chumra of the gaonim. Im shor shoshem v'toch hakerach yesh le'esor mimanavshach. Ichas v'nin hakerach kamayim havei kebasa shesho b'mayim me'is le'is mafliya hadam. Im lo choshev hakerach kamayim im kein havei kebasa shesho gimel yomim b'lo hadacha. Right? And so the only thing you can do with this piece of meat at this point, according to one side of the equation, is tzli. But it's unclear whether tzli will work on both sides, because we saw the Shach said that after the meat is kavush, even tzli won't work. So it's a question of whether we can even beat tzli with this piece of meat. And this is what's called basar kafu. This is from a basar kafu. Meat which is shechted in Argentina, and then sent to Israel, and the malicha is done in Eretz Israel, the shita is done in Argentina. How does it get from Argentina to Israel? It takes months to get from Argentina to Israel. It's frozen solid. And it's frozen solid, it gets here, it's defrosted. So can we still do a malicha on this meat? What is the halacha of basar kafu? So we see over here that the Minchas Yaakov says it's aser, because of manafshach we're going to have over here a problem. The question is as to whether the metzius of nowadays is the same as the metzius of the Minchas Yaakov. He's dealing with meat in a block of ice. Nowadays, we don't have meat in a block of ice. We have hard frozen meat. It's simply freeze-dried, or whatever you want to call it. Simply, it's frozen in its natural state, in suspended animation. The question is this state of suspended animation to be compared to the Minchas Yaakov? So there is a tshuva of the Sri Deyesh. It's in Chelek Beis, Simanim Samach Aleph and Samach Beis, that this problem of Basar Kafu already arose in Europe. That in Europe there were all sorts of laws against Shchita in the Nuremberg laws, the early period of the Nazis. Before they killed the Jews, first they assered Shchita, and then they were Shochet, things other than meat. And so they had to import meat. And so the meat that was imported came from South Africa. And so you had this problem of Basar Kafu, of meat going from South Africa to Germany. So the Swedish said, even at that time, it was really blizzard because it was hard frozen. It wasn't in a block of ice. It was hard frozen. It's neither Kavisha nor Yibush. It simply remained in its natural state. When it came out of the situation of being frozen, it was fresh. It was fresh post having been frozen. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph of Yoredeya, Siman Kaf Zayin, where he said that what the Sridi Yesh writes, he doesn't quote the Sridi Yesh, but he says that Svara, to say that it's Nishtahin Nishtaher, makes a lot of sense off his Svara. But what can we do? There's a Machlokes Achronim, and says L'chatchila, he didn't want to be Matir Basar Kafu. However, there were Achronim who disagreed with Rav Moshe. Rav Henkin was Matir L'chatchila, Rav Soloveitchik, that's all, was Matir L'chatchila, Rav Henkin, that's all, Moshe, that's all, I didn't need to say one was that's all, not the others. And the Rabbanut HaRashit of Eretz Yisrael was also Matir L'chatchila, because I pointed out that there's not enough meat in Eretz Yisrael, aren't enough cows here, so they import meat, it's cheaper also to import from Argentina, and they were Matir the Basar Kafu L'chatchila. And so that became a question as to whether in Eretz Yisrael you're part of the yeshiva world or you're part of the balabatisha world, right? If you're part of the balabatisha world, you can go ahead and eat basar kafu. If you're part of the yeshiva world, so then you're machmir on basar kafu, and you would only eat fresh meat, because of Rav Moshe said that you shouldn't eat it, l'chatchila, because of this question as to do we have over here mamanaf shachli yisar, or can we say that the Messias nowadays is somewhat different. And so that, in other words, for many, up to very recently, that was one of the distinctions in a hotel that would have meat that was kasher, and they would have meat that was lemahadrin, that was kasher, many times was basar kafu, and it fell into this question. And I say until very recently, it's because the Rabbanut realized that they're, you know, it's silly to try and have two different standards, and it may be easier simply to do the melicha in Argentina or South America and the other countries before putting it on the boat. And then you get around the whole problem. I mean, there's no problem of freezing meat post-melicha. The problem is only freezing it pre-melicha. So it may be easier just to do the melicha wholesale there rather than send it here and have it being done retail here either by the butchers or by a woman in her own home, etc. And that way you get out of problems. Because what used to be is that you go to a supermarket and there would be three kinds of meat. There would be meat that the supermarket already did you the favor and was maleach, or meat that was simply non-mimlach, and you would have to bring it home and be maleach. And not everyone understood that this meat that looked the same as the other meat had not yet been nimlach, and people would be nichshal. And so the Rabbanut felt it would be kedai just to take care of everything already in the source. And so, to the best of my knowledge, most of the meat that comes into the country now, which is called basar kafu, which is frozen meat, maybe frozen, but it's not a problem of the original basar kafu of the tshuva of Rav Moshe and Sridi Yesh and Rabbanut HaRashit, etc. That problem doesn't exist. But b'cholzot, it's still called basar kafu. Why is it still called basar kafu? Because we pointed out, I think we went to Hilchos Shchita, that there are other issues aside from the question of melicha, and those deal with the question of wholesale retail, how many heads of beef or how many chickens are shefted per hour, simply in terms of a comparison of, we point out, speed is something that in the world of Shchita is not working in the favor of being able to check, do we have over here Shia, Drasa, etc., to check for trefus properly. And so there was one fellow, I may mention at the time, he learned here in the Kollel, and then he went and he became a shochet for Empire. Then he changed positions, but he came to the Kollel and gave a lecture on what Shchita was like in Pennsylvania. Where do they have the Empire Shlachtos?
Vineland, Pennsylvania.
Right. So he told us at the time, I don't think it's changed since then, that he shechted 800 chickens an hour. 800 chickens an hour, and his Torahnut was an hour on, an hour off. An hour on, an hour off. Then we only rested after he shechted 800 chickens. And he said in the first 5 minutes of that hour, when he was still fresh, he shechted 100 chickens. 100 chickens in 5 minutes, and then it went slower and slower as the hour went on, and he would check his knife after every 100 chickens. So you realize that's very, very different than a shlachtas in Eretz Yisrael, where a shochet works 20 minutes on, 20 minutes off, and checks his knife after every 50 chickens, maybe. And where it said, you have, it's simply a whole different world. It's like the difference between going into a factory that Ford and going back to the next Jaguar. It's just a different world of an assembly, a different form of an assembly line. And so when the concept of basar kafu is, even if the melicha problem doesn't exist, but the cholzot, you're talking about a different nature than we're talking about the fresh meat which you shechted in Eretz Yisrael. So, okay, that's what we have over here in terms of Sif Aleph. Move on to Sif Beis, yes?
I just have a question.
I'm sorry, just not telling you not to eat chicken in America. I'm just telling you that there's a difference from the chicken you eat in America, chicken in Eretz Israel. That's why you're learning so well here. Right? Yes? The Shach says that if you're dealing with this case of Nimlach, Nikrash, and then Nimlach again, Tov Lemolcho Pa'am Acheres. Right, exactly. The Dilemma says that if you're going to do Hadacha Acheres, maybe you shouldn't do a Hadacha in between. Nachon. Correct. 100%, you're on the ball. Correct. Okay, let's see some things. Im Molach V'lo Hidiyach Tchila. Right, this was our big nafkamina. Molach V'lo Hidiyach Tchila. Do you have a second chance? So then, the Machare Paskins, Yadichen Yimilchen Oshenis. You have a second chance. Namely, he lowers the reasons down from 7 to 4. But then he says, V'yesh Osrim. So it gets back to the 7. In other words, that he waffles a little over here on this very, very basic question. But the Ramah is a little clearer. V'chein nohagim. V'chein nohagim, minag Ashkenaz, is to Aser, namely we move over into choosing between the last three reasons that were kosher, at least the chumrah, that the malicha without the hadachah is going to mess us up, or the lack of a hadachah is going to mess us up, rather than simply leaving things still open to do whatever we want. However, the Ramah then continues, not to do it again. Again, we pointed out when you hit Hefsed Meruba, that means that you're hitting Iker Hadin. So the Iker Hadin is that we can be summoned on one of the earlier reasons rather than on one of the later reasons. That we have the ability to assume nothing happened within the first Hadachah. V'im lo hudach rak ma'at kodem shemolcho mutar b'dieved. Again, if we're dealing over here on the level of a hudach ma'at, even though we pointed out previously that you should do a hadacha, what phrase did we use? Hudach heitev. We don't have a hudach heitev, we just have a hudach ma'at, it's b'dieved. Again, assuming that the reason for the first hadacha is simply for the outer blood, that you don't have to, you know, there's no need to get anything more than that, and so the bottom line is that the to get rid of the outer dam be'en appears to be the reason that the Ramah is going to be used on a b'dieved plane. Those of you who have Gilyon Amar Shah, so he sort of summarizes Halach L'maisa, what are the options, in Sifkat on Kaf Zayin. Zibra Maskel Namei Ayri Kai Gavna Nimsa Yesh Gimel Chivukim Hidicho Heitev. If you really did a proper Hadacha Af Belon Nimlach Adayin Ein Tzarech Lishroso. In other words, the Shriya itself is really a Chumrah. But if you did Hidich O Heitev, that would be enough both for the Machaber and the Ramah L'chatzchila. So you have a Hidur of Shriya, a L'chatzchila of Hidich O Heitev. Hadacha mu'etet rak benimrach kvar shari. If you did a minimum hadacha, then b'di'evah that's okay. Lo hudach klal gam benimrach sarach lachzar v'lishroso v'limroach. If you didn't do hadacha at all, then we will allow one to be somech on the heter that nothing really happened and to start all over again. So you have these three. You have the hidur is to do the shriya, the lechatzila is to do a hadacha heitev, the hadacha mu'etes is good b'di'evad, and if lo hudach klal, then we allow you a second chance. So that would be pretty much a summary of everything that we set up to now halacha l'maisa. Okay. Then the Ramah continues, v'hu hadin im hayashishim b'chaticha neged dam she'alav. That if we have a situation where we know that the shishim and the piece of meat against the dam, against it, down the outside, then even if we missed the hadakah, even if we missed the hadakah, we just have a hudach tzas, we can manage, because actually, yeah, we're going to have shishim. Namely, again, the assumption is that the reason for the hadakah is to get rid of the outer blood, and this outer blood isn't going to be oser b'di'evad. Do we have these situations where we can assume that you have shishim in the chaticha against dam she'alav? So here we can sort of put together two things. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yoredeya, Chelot Aleph, Siman Kaf Dalet, where he moves over to the Ramah in Sif Tes. The Ramah in Sif Tes gives us an axiom, and the axiom is that chaticha atzma Vadai hishloshim neged hamelach she'alav. That generally a piece of meat, again this is generally, that a piece of meat is going to have 30 times in its volume that which is on its outer surface. And therefore, that wouldn't yet reach kshishim. However, if we're dealing with a chicken, Rav Moshe assumes, why did he assume that? There's Rabbi Kiva Eger in Siv Katan Vav that points out that in Tarnagolet Mibachutz Lekadam Be'en, that in a chicken, if you have think it to yourself, you have this whole chicken in front of you, the outer surface where you have the skin, there's no Dam Be'en. The Dam Be'en is going to be on the inner surface. So you have an outer surface where you have shloshim, and an inner surface where you have shloshim, and you have a ratio of the whole piece to the inner surface of 1 to 60. So there you would have this 1 to 60. If you miss the hadachah, the bottom line is that the blood is not enough to aser the piece, the chicken. So it's certainly supposed to deal with it, but you're not going to have enough dam be'en there to mess you up. Again, so if one of the reasons of doing the hadachah kamaisa is to get rid of the dam be'en, which could mess you up, in a situation where you're going to have shishim and you miss hadachah kamaisa, then it's b'di'evad, things are fine. So that's according, when you put together the Ramah in Sif Tes and Rabbi Kiva Eger in Sif Katan Vav, then that would be a situation in the chicken that if you miss hadachah kamaisa, you can still go ahead with the malicha because the dam be'en she'olav is not going to, it's not going to asur anything. That's what Rav Moshe points out in his tshuva. How do we define these situations of b'di'evad? We said mutar b'di'evad. Mutar b'di'evad. What's b'di'evad? So we have over here machlokes achronim. The Shach says in Sif Katan Yud. Sorry. Yud Dalad. He says umashma kevon de nimrach afshelo bishlo. Adayin chashuv b'di'evad, v'yein tzarech lachzor lahadicho lamocho, etc. In other words, that b'di'evad doesn't mean that you have no alternative. B'di'evad means that you already went ahead and did something. You already went ahead and did a process. That's already called b'di'evad. So even if you have the option of chozer u'mediach and starting all over again, the fact that you already did the malicha, that already is considered to be b'di'evad. The Rabbi Kiva Eger, Alatar, says, ma pitom, as long as you have a takana to do a malicha a second time, we don't call that b'di'evad. B'di'evad is only when you cooked it already. If you cooked it already, That's considered to be b'di'evet. Without having cooked it already, it's not yet considered to be b'di'evet. Okay, just to complete the Rama over here, v'yimimlach chaticha below hadacha im sha'ar chatichos. Again, so you have a number of pieces that already you did hadacha on. And those pieces, the melicha is going to work great. And you have one piece that you were maleach without hadacha. You're going to have a problem over here of dam ve'en, which is going to go floating all over the place. So the machab Rama paskin sha'ar chatichos mutarot. Hi asura. The piece itself, you're going to be moleach without the hadacha, that's going to absorb its own dam ve'en, and that's going to be messed up. However, the other pieces are okay. Why are they okay? Why aren't we worried they're going to absorb the dam, the end from the piece that was not nimlach? So over here, the shach says, v'lgabi acheros mikri dam plita ukabolo kach polto. That because the other chatichos have a proper melicha, they have a proper melicha, then that dam which was coming from the first piece, at dam the end, is not going to be absorbed. Why not is very problematic. Why should that be? Mikri dam plita. So the Gemara Shah says, Kevan shenislach lach naset solul kodem boel al chatichos, it's watered down. Why call it dam plita? It's really not dam plita. So we're saying that it's watered down dam. It would mess up the first piece, wouldn't mess up the other pieces. But it's unclear exactly why that should be. We pointed out that normally if you take an eyedropper and drop blood on a piece of meat, then it's going to go in via melicha rather than out. Here we have blood which is coming like from an eyedropper. Okay, we have blood which is not dam plita. We have blood which is dam the end. So it's dam the end only klapei that piece of meat, not klapei other pieces of meat. Lo barur exactly what the line of reasoning is. Okay, let's look at Sif Gimel. Lo yimlach b'melach zaka kekemach v'lo b'melach gasa b'yoter shenofelet me'al habasar eilach ve'eilach. That you can't use meat which is too thin? We don't use the word thin, too fine. Too fine, because it's going simply to be absorbed. Hamelach hadak nivra bebasar. It's going to lose its identity. You shouldn't use salt which is too coarse, because it's not going to stick, kind of even with the water. You have to use the Papa bear, the mama bear, the baby bears, right? You know, if you use the middle category of salt. Okay, so the anything else over here? Sif Dalid, Yifazer alav melach shelo yishayer b'makom mibli melach v'yimlach kedei shelo yehi roi lehiachel. Im oso hamelach. That we pointed out that you require molcho yofe yofe. That's the language of the Gemara. Molcho yofe yofe. What does yofe yofe mean? So either it can mean to cover the entire surface, that's the rush, or it can mean in terms of shelo yehi roi lehi achel im oso melach. As long as that melach is on it, it's inedible. And so we have over here, that's the Rashba. The Mechaber brings both dayot. Brings the rush and the Rashba. Says that you should be machmir like both shitot. The shach over here in Sif Katan Kaf points out that the ikur is daf b'di'evet tzarach shelo yishayer makom mibli melach. That the he quotes the day that that's the Iker. However, then he continues, V'chumar yiseirahi, achein abach pasak v'chalik v'kach, v'rayasam yisir v'heter, v'chein noagim ha'olam she'en medaktikim v'kach. In other words, as long as you have a lot of salt, such that that you can't eat it with that amount of salt, even if not every spot is covered, that's also okay. This shear of Shelo yehi roi leyachel im oso hamelach, we pointed out, is the shear also of Moliach Kurosea. And this serves as the background of the Bahag, who says, well, if they have the same shear in terms of the amount of salt, Pashtus, they also have the same shear in terms of time, in terms of 18 minutes, and then Rabbi Natan worked off of that, etc. Namely, that we have over here a certain parallelism. The question is it necessary, not necessary. Then the Machaber continues and points out Umocho Mishnei Hatzadim, that the Melicha has to be L'chatzchila on both sides. V'ofo Sarach L'molchon Gam Bibifnim. V'im Lo Molchon Ela Mibifnim O Mibachutz. Then B'dievet it's okay. And the Ramah says nothing doing. Yesh Osrim Afilu B'dievet V'hochi Nohog Im Lo Letzorach. The L'chatzchila, you're supposed to be Moleach on both sides. That way, certainly according to the Rashba, that the function of Melicha is to pull the meat out even from the thickest piece. So this allows, if it's working in all directions, being pulled from all directions to the outside, then it could work even on that which is totally, totally within. Again, l'chatzchila. This concept of being maleach, an oath, even midifnim, can create problems when you're dealing with chickens that are relatively small, because if you're talking about a whole chicken, and you cut off its head, so you have a chicken with like a little hole. And if you have a lot of chicken, so you have to be careful to pour the salt. So you, in your own home, you know, you pour the salt into the hole, and then you sort of turn the chicken around, and so until you see that the entire inner surface where you have the dam then is covered with salt. When it's done wholesale, it's much more problematic. And so there is a prima godim over here in Mishpatzot Zohar at the end of Sifkatan Tet Vav. He quotes the tshuva of the Beis Lechem Yehuda, "Deroy lufkoa haofos lishnayim," that you should have. Many of you may have found that when you get chickens from the kitchen and you defrost them, they sort of flop open. Why do they sort of flop open? Why aren't they these beautiful chickens like you used to have in America that look like a little turkey? So the reason is because of the malicha, namely that the heater over here, to be sure that you're going to be maleach the inner part, is before the malicha you cut the chicken, and then it's all flopped open, and that way it's easier to get to both sides of the chicken. Now, if anything were the chicken to be closed, then it would be much harder to get to the inside, which I'm sure the Empire has a way of doing it, but maybe they have a blow dryer that blows the salt in or whatever. But the heater in Eretz Yisrael is that the chicken is already opened up a little more in order to be able to get to the inside as well. Yeah? We pointed out, right, that we don't say that we have over here l'chatzchilas and b'dievets. So we pointed out that the Shach says that those who are makpid b'dievet on the soul touching every point, that's improper. But the Machaber says that that's l'chatzchilas. Yifazer olav ha-melech shlo yisher b'makam l'gnav. So as a l'chatzchilas, it should cover the inner surface. And when we speak about eno roi le'yachel, the mosa melech, the Chora, we're talking about the salt on the inside as well. It may not have to touch every part. But there should be salt on the inside. You shouldn't be able just to cut out the inner part of the chicken and say, well, this I can eat without melech. Yes?
I've seen
in
some places where they actually take off chicken and they stuff salt inside.
Yes. That's the best way. That's the ideal way. Exactly. So, all right. So in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, in many places, they'll do that. And then you can have it whole. Correct. But I mean, if you're checking 800 chickens an hour, and you have 10 shochtim working simultaneously, right? So you have 8,000 chickens every hour. The question is whether there's going to be enough manpower to be able to stand by each chicken and pour it in. Right? That's the question. Again, the moment that you move to a greater assembly line, then you're going to have to cut corners somewhere. So I'll advise it doesn't happen that way. Maybe they have a machine to sort of move the chickens around and have the salt fly. You can sort of picture an assembly line like that. Okay. Okay, over here, so we saw. So the Ramah said that you should put on both sides, except in the case of makom tzorech. Makom tzorech is already different than b'dieved. Makom tzorech is more a question of hesed meruba, that you have a problem. Erev Shabbos, you have your various problems that creates the more question of hesed. Then that is the other. Anything else over here? No. Okay. Moving. Let's just look at Sifhei. Achar shenimlocha hachaticha chotach mimena. So this brings us back to the machlokes between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. After you already did melicha, now you cut the piece of meat. So eino tzarach l'achzar v'lemolach mokam machatap. He pointed out this was the raya that the machaber passed in like the Rashba. This is the shuv of the Rashba. Namely that the salting process takes care of all the soil from within the piece of meat, not just the outer surface. Okay, we neder. Next time we'll start with Sifav. We'll start with the concept of Shehiya. Okay. Yeah.